Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you. It is Friday, and you know what that means. That's one of my seven favorite days of the week. So, actually, it's my day off, but it also has special celebration causes for us. So, there's a birthday in our family today, and so happy birthday. They don't ever listen to the radio program because they're already working at this time and don't get to listen to the radio program. But I'll make sure that I tell them happy birthday up close and personal. So, and by the way, it's my wife's birthday, so I'll just take the secrecy out of it. And one of the things that we got to do this year was we got to buy a new car, first new car we had ever owned, and it wasn't a want, it was a need. Because of her recovery and the equipment that she needed for her to be able to drive. And that was all made possible because of some connections my son had at Bob Steele Chevrolet. And so if you are in need of a vehicle, by the way, we had looked at a number of dealerships before and wasn't finding a whole lot of availability of vehicles to look at that point in time because of the supply chain issues. And they had a vehicle. My wife absolutely loves it. And so we like to say thank you to the folks out at Bob Steele Chevrolet for being so kind to work with us and get us into a vehicle that she loves. And she's able to drive, and so we are very, very thankful for that. That has freed up my schedule a great deal and brought us back to some normalcy in our life. So thank you to the folks out at Bob Steele. 261-0288 was the number we had to get in touch with them out there. So Mother's Day weekend, this is one of our last opportunities to invite you out to hear a phenomenal speaker, Judy Cotagnola, who will be ministering Sunday morning at 10:30. And it seems how I've got three kids that grew up in a minister's household, and they're all active in church and faithfully serving in the churches that they are part of. I think it's great because Judy grew up in a minister's household, became a pastor's wife herself, and then carried out a lot of the pastoral duties of the church that needed to be done while her husband was battling illness. And so if you're a lady that's listening out there and you're looking for someone to speak into your life this week, I want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God at 10:30 because Judy brings a lot of passion, a lot of experience, and a lot of compassion, and she will be sharing with us Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m. God bless you. Today we're going to go back to the Word of God. I have we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. We've talked about some of the uniqueness of God, that there's no other God like him. There's no other Lord like him. There's no other just God like him. There's no other Savior like him. There's no one like him. He's wholly beyond comparison. So we've gone through Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 17. I want to begin reading today at verse number 18. It says, "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So, I have a note that is written here today, and it says this, God's credentials. One of the things that I've grown to appreciate through the years are credentials. And I'm not, by that, I'm not talking about whether or not you have a pass, something that you have purchased or a ticket that you found or anything like that. I'm not talking about the lanyard that you wear over your neck that identifies you when you get into a situation where this says, oh, I get to go on by because I'm wearing this particular credential. Okay, I carry ministerial credentials. I'm an ordained Assemblies of God minister. Very rarely have I ever had to show that credential. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to live our life in such a way that people know that we're living the right way. We've talked about the presence of God. The presence of God is the greatest credential that you could ever have. What I'm talking about with credentials is not an access pass that will allow you to get into some place. What I'm talking about are credentials that identify expertise. And so through the years, I have had a lot of input into my life. And some of that input has been encouraging, edifying, empowering. There's been a lot of input like that. I'm thankful for all that. There have been a lot of other sources of input that had other things to say. So you've heard me say, you know, hey, you're worthless and you'll never amount to anything in the ministry. That was some input. Another person, let me just frame that one just a moment. So I had to look at the credential of the person that said that and compare that with the credential of the God who called me, and I found out God's credential carried greater weight than what that person's expertise did. And so there are people who had something to say, and you know, I've had people who've written me letters. They would frame it as constructive criticism, except for there was nothing about that could change. And so it wasn't constructive. It was just criticism. And so what my method is of handling something like that is I take anything like that and I take it to God and I say, God, if there is anything to this, if there's any merit to this whatsoever, I bring it to you, and if it's established through your input into my life, then I want to repent of it. I want to change it. I want it out of my life as quickly as possible. But God, if this is not from you, I'm not going to do this in arrogance. I'm just going to do it in accordance with your expertise. And if you say that this criticism isn't valid, then I'm not going to allow it into my life, because that person doesn't carry the credentials that you do. So, there are a lot of people, you know, on. Let's put it in a 2022 perspective. There are a lot of people who function as trolls on social media, and they are quick to criticize. They are quick to make fun of, to mock, to ridicule. And, you know, some people call them keyboard warriors, and they get to hide behind the anonymity of the pseudonym that they've created. And much of what they do anonymously. So there is no blowback. There is no examination of them to see if they have the authority to speak to that matter or not. So everything that we have talked about thus far has been about Cyrus. And it says this, "For thus says the Lord," okay, "who created the heavens." So I want you to begin to see what the credentials of God are. "I created everything that you can see. I created everything that you can't see. I created everything beyond what it is in your ability to perceive." And so no matter how powerful the telescope that they put into the sky, everything that I created is beyond that scope. And by the way, I did it all out of nothing but my word. Okay, so, critic, what have you built? What have you built greater than the heavens? And if that person, that idol, doesn't have the same credential as God, ignore them. I always defer to expertise. And so if you're in the construction industry right now, I want to recommend that you have a vibrant relationship with God, because he is an expert in the field of construction. He's been building galaxies, solar systems. He built the universe out of nothing. He's got more beauty built into his creation than any other artist has ever been able to create. There's not an architect with similar skill. There's no engineer that has been able to design things greater than what God is. His credential for building is impeccable. Who is God? We've talked about that. Who formed the earth and made it? Okay, so I'm just going to share one more thing. I want to take you back up to verse number 12. "And all their host I have commanded." This is what verse number 12 says. "I've made the earth, created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded." And so God not only created all of this, he's still commanding. He is still the God who is in charge. And so it doesn't matter whether it's man. It doesn't matter whether it's in the angelic host. God is still the one in charge. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about creation, because there is so much that is taking place in 2022 that is battling for our identity. And so there are people who want to battle for your identity, and if you do not agree with their perspective, then they want to diminish you. They want to ridicule you, humiliate you to the point that you are either paralyzed with fear, or you're paralyzed with apathy, and you just don't want to step out and do anything. Look, that's not the God. That's not the way that God made you. He made you to occupy. He made you to replenish. He made you to fill the earth. So look at what it says: "Who formed the earth and made it." Okay? I do not believe that there is a person alive who is more familiar with the mountaintop experience, the valleys, the canyons, and the underwater experiences that the earth has to offer more than God. Okay, here's why I say that. Man keeps labeling things extinct, and every once in a while, one of them pops up and God says, "I knew where that one was all along." They think there was one time a thing in the patent office, everything that could be invented has been invented. We should just shut the patent office down. That was in the 1800s, I believe. I think there's been a few things invented since then, but don't tell anybody. There's also another classification, species that have not been found. In fact, there are some people who believe that that the diversity of life that has yet to be discovered is not minuscule, but extremely significant. They don't think that they've even scratched the surface of all of the different species that could be made. See, the world tells you that it's all accidental, that it's just a cosmic collision that happened, and there happened to be an electrical charge that happened at just the right time, and all of a sudden, life just happened, and your ancestors swam out of a tree and fell out of a swamp. And you say, wait a minute, what did he just say? What I just said makes as much sense as what they do. I don't have enough faith to believe in a Big Bang accident. I've never seen anything beautiful come out of an explosion yet. I've seen a lot of deterioration, a lot of damage, a lot of destruction. But God spoke, and I guess this Big Bang theory I do agree with, God spoke and bang, there it was, in all of its beauty. People say, well, what about all of the ages, all of the different carbon dating processes and all that? I'll just respond to by this and saying, you know, I've known some people who were really good at art, a lot of people really good at house renovations, and they can take something new and they can make it look old. They can take something old and they can make it look new. I have a feeling that God's got greater aging and refreshing experience than what anybody else on earth does. Just a thought. Who formed the earth and made it? Who established it? Now, I will tell you that God not only made you, but he wants you established. He does not want any of us being tossed to and fro as unstable in this life. You're supposed to have direction. You're supposed to have focus. You're supposed to know what God's plan for you is in your life. So we've got a portion of our church property that is exposed to some pretty intense sunlight in the summertime. It's outside of our front doors. And during that, the early years, we didn't have an irrigation system or anything like that. And no matter what we planted out there, it kept dying. And so a person came and they said, well, you know what? I'd like to plant this. Could I plant this here? And I said, give it a go. We don't have a green thumb. And so they planted it. And I came back a few days later and they had dug it up from there and they planted it someplace else. And I came back a few days later and they had dug it up again and they had planted it someplace else. And I came back again a few days later and they had dug it up and they planted it in the trash can because it was dead. And what had happened was that plant had never had the opportunity to get established to be able to thrive wherever it was, and it died. God wants you. He's got a place for you. He wants you established because that which is established is fruitful. It has benefit not only for its own existence, but stability for those around it. Verse number 18 of Isaiah 45 continues, says, who did not create it in vain. So I want to take just a moment to speak to anybody out there who may be living under the deception of the enemy that you're just somehow a mistake, that you're just a horrible accident. I want you to know that does not line up with the word of God. God chose exactly this time for exactly you to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, to be forgiven of your sins, because he loves you. Okay? He did not create you in vain. He did not create the world in vain. He did not create the heavens in vain. He created them on purpose. It's not meaningless. If you're out there today and you're saying, you know, it's Friday, it's meaningless, why do I even want to go through this? I want you to know you want to go through it for the glory of God. If you don't know God, then no matter how successful you are or how unsuccessful you are, both of those things, apart from God, have the same ending. But when you know that God created you and he not only begins a project, he finishes that project, he perfects that project, and he didn't make a mistake with you. He designed this time with you in mind. I got a preacher that I know of. I've been in some of his services. And he describes himself as the person that people who are pro-abortion would target. He was born to a mom who already had multiple kids that she could not feed. And he describes himself as the product of a $20 bill. His mother had a financial need, and a guy said, I'll give you $20, but I'm going to take advantage of you physically. And she said yes, and this man was born. He ended up being raised by some wonderful Christians, not as a accident or not as an ungodly transaction, but as a masterpiece by God. And you know what God does through him? He uses him to speak purpose into people's lives, young people's lives, who are growing up in a society that is becoming more dysfunctional day after day after day. And he says, look, I want to be the person that says, not only did God have a purpose when he created me, he's got a purpose for why he created you. He saves young people's lives day after day after day because he speaks purpose into their life. You are not an accident. God did not create you in vain. The other thing it says, who formed it to be inhabited. So I believe Merit Assembly of God was built to be inhabited. I believe that Island Community Church was built to be inhabited. I believe that First Baptist Church was built to be inhabited. I believe that East Coast Christian Center was built to be inhabited. I believe that River of Life Church was built to be inhabited. And every Bible preaching church on Merritt Island was built to be a life-giving church and be a blessing to the community. I believe that God is perfectly skilled at taking care of earth. We are supposed to be good stewards of it. But I can tell you this, there are some people who are looking for an escape hatch. They say, oh, this planet is doomed. It doesn't line up with the word of God. The earth was created on purpose. Man was placed here to have dominion over it, to glorify God in that situation. And so you say, where are you going with this? I want you to realize that if God has placed you here, he's not looking for you to abandon the place that he's called you to inhabit. I love the promised land, but the promised land was available 40 years before the children of Israel went into it. He said, I want you to inhabit it. And they said, no, I don't want to inhabit that. I want you to know that God's not made a mistake. He's got a timeline. He's got a perfect, flawless timeline. And so if he's created an abiding place for you, you know, you need to be abiding in the word. Don't abandon it. Whatever God has given to you as a place that you are supposed to occupy, don't be derelict or negligent in your responsibilities. Fulfill that purpose. God says this in verse number 19. We've already talked about I am the Lord and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. If you want to listen to things that are wrong, you can find a million sources on that. But if you want to know the things that are right, you need to listen to God. And God says, look, I'm not saying things in secret here. I'm putting it out there. Remember, this has to do with Cyrus, a king of the Medes and Persians that wasn't even born yet. Not even born yet. And God's calling him by name, saying, I've got a purpose for you. And I'm not saying this and hiding it someplace in case I'm wrong. I'm putting it out there so that everybody knows it. So when it comes to pass, people will say, wow, God was really prepared for that. He really did know what was going on. He doesn't say to seek him in vain. When he says to seek him, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, when he says to seek justice, when he says to seek truth, when it says to seek his face, he's like, I'm not telling you that without purpose. I want you to find me. I speak in righteousness. I speak things that are right. I want us to go through life with us having a conversation where I say to you, this is the way. Walk in it. Okay? So if that's the way that God speaks, I can assure you that it is not the way that the devil speaks. The devil's a liar and the father of it. The devil will tell you things and leave the fine print out. He will always try and twist and contort and pervert the word of God to get you to do not what God wants you to do, but the things that God doesn't want you to do. He's not looking to make your life better. He's looking to make your life a living hell on the road to an eternal hell. God's the one who says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And so I want you to factor in credentials. The good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, or the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Whose credentials do you want to recognize? I believe that God's credentials are better than any government, any bank, any preacher, any celebrity. You know, a lot of times people put themselves off as something that they're not. I'm here to tell you, God's God all by himself. He doesn't have to exaggerate his credentials. They're top notch. They're top shelf. And so when God speaks, we need to respond. So I hope that sets you up for a great weekend. We would love to have you come and worship with us Sunday morning at 10:30. Once again, we got Judy Cotagnolo with us out of Lakeland, Florida. She'll be a blessing. If we don't see you then, we'll see you Monday right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Just don't have the will to fight anymore. It's nothing like before, standing on the outside.